Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We're grateful for the transformation that it can bring to our life as we listen, as we hear, as we apply. Your scripture says that if we love you, we will obey your commands. And so as we look diligently in your word, you would help us to see the things that we need to embrace and change and adopt that we might please you and show you that we love you. And so we commit ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, today I'm going to talk about investing in the bank of eternity. I don't know if we ever think about it like that, but, you know, just so you know, I never got off, neither Neve and I really got off to a good start financially, because our parents never taught us anything about banking. I was telling Don this morning, I remember my first paycheck. I worked at Chevron gas station, and I was making $3.25 an hour, and I got my whole $100, whatever it was now. But I remember getting the check and going, like, what do I do with this? I had no idea. So I went to my mom, what do? She goes, you put it in the bank. How do you do that? I don't know. And so anyways, I started that journey of learning about how to use money. And investing is so important for us to understand. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus this is his Sermon on the Mount. And he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And so he's saying, don't invest in treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We have probably heard that Bible verse many, many times. And it's interesting that Jesus says you can store up treasure in heaven. Now, what in the world does he mean by that? How do you invest in heaven? How do you invest in eternity? Or how do you invest in forever? How do you actually store up treasure in heaven? It's such an important concept that phrase, treasure in heaven, it's actually mentioned 5 times in Scripture. And, you know, any time that God says anything, just even one thing, it should prick our ears and we should obey it. But if God says something 5 times, I'm thinking that he's saying, you need to be fully aware of this. You need to take note. I don't want you to miss this. And God wants us to know how to store up treasure in heaven, because he says that you can actually make deposits into this bank of eternity. And notice the phrase, store up for yourselves. He's not talking here about storing up for God. He's not talking about storing up for angels. The Bible says that you can have a personal bank account in heaven. You can store up, or you can have for yourselves, treasure in heaven. So what is he saying here? He's saying that we will enjoy in heaven forever whatever we invest in heaven. And what I invest in heaven, I'm going to enjoy forever. You know, you've heard the saying that where people have said you can't take it with you, and that is true. You can't take it with you. You can take nothing with you, but you can send it on ahead. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to begin with a passage in 1 Timothy. And this is what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, command those who are rich. Okay, let's just stop there for a moment. That means all of you. Okay, you're all rich. We're all rich. Okay, right at this moment, if you have a debit card in your wallet, if you have pocket change, if you have some bills in your fold or your purse, or you got a piggy bank at home, you're already in the top 5% of people in the world. every Canadian is rich compared to most of the rest of the world. The absolute lowest minimum wage in the world right now at present is found in countries like Burundi or Venezuela, where minimum wages can be as low as 2 cents or 13 cents per hour, mind you. You know, that amounts to roughly somewhere between 12 to 15% or cents a day. In our country, the poorest of the poor, we actually have a safety net here that most countries don't have. We are just a really wealthy country by comparison. Our minimum wage in here, if you're an employer, you know that it just went to $18.25 an hour at the beginning of June. This passage, though, goes on to say, "Commend those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." And so everything that we have from God has been created for our enjoyment. And then Paul says to Timothy, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Tell them to use their money to do good." And so Paul tells them to use their money to do good. Money is a tool to be used, and we're to use it for good, not for evil, and not to waste it. Because money is neither right or wrong, good or bad. It's a neutral thing that can be used for great evil or for great good. And when we use our money for good, we invest in heaven. In other words, the way that we store up treasure in heaven is by using our money to do good. And Paul goes on to say, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds," so that's using our money to do good works, "and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, by using our money and doing good, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age." And so Paul is talking about heaven there. "And so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." That person will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. And that is the only safe investment for eternity. And in doing so, they'll be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. So I'm going to enjoy forever what I invest in heaven. And I invest in heaven every time that I use money for good. So how do I do that? Well, the Bible gives us a number of different ways that we can invest, but where is the best place to invest? You know, places that are sort of risk-free and they yield enormous dividends. Well, the first place that we're to invest is in our character. You know, it's a good move anytime I invest in that, which is going to help grow my character. I invest in eternity every time I use my money to grow my character. Proverbs 10:16 says this, "The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin." Note that it says godly people, or you can use the word wise people, use their money to make their lives better, to enhance their lives, as opposed to evil people who just sort of blow their money and waste their money. And so how do I enhance my life with my money? I use it to grow. I use it to grow spiritually. I use it to grow intellectually. I use it to grow emotionally. I use it to grow personally. And when I use money to develop my skills, when I use money to become mature, when I use money to improve myself, the Bible says I'm storing up treasure in heaven. I'm investing in eternity. You know as well as I do that there are literally zillions of ways that we can waste money. We do it all the time. Here's a few ways that people have wasted money in the past. How about this picture? That is called the invisible sculpture. It is a real thing. It was created by an Italian artist who successfully auctioned this immaterial sculpture titled I Am for $18,300 US. And so the buyer, when he bought that, received a certificate of authenticity. But was, and anyways, I could go on with that. How about this one? Some of you actually may have participated in this. Pet rocks, do you remember those? Did anybody here actually have a pet rock? Okay, there's a few of you, yes. Welcome to the club. Yeah, well, in 1975, a guy by the name of Gary Dahl created this joke product, which it was, and basically they were just smooth beach rocks. They were packaged in a custom cardboard box. They came with the little nest, and it became a multi-million dollar fad. That's crazy. Or maybe you could invest in something like this. Now, that doesn't seem like very much, right? But that was a piece of French toast that was left uneaten by Justin Timberlake. And it was sold for a staggering $3,150 on eBay. Or how about this picture? If you look carefully, you will see a grilled cheese sandwich with the picture of the Virgin Mary on it. And it was sold on eBay for $28,000. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of you, except for the three or four that raised their hands for their pet rocks, are ever going to waste money like that. You know, I guess the point is that we can buy things, but none of the things that we actually buy in life are going to go with us into eternity. We're going to have to leave our pet rocks behind. In other words, you're not going to take your car to heaven. You're not going to take your clothes to heaven. Think about that. You're going to get a new set of clothes. You're not going to take your house to heaven. You're not going to take any things that are physical, but you are taking your character. And that's one thing that you're taking. You're taking you. And God says when you invest your money in your character, you're investing for eternity. In Luke 2, verse 52, we are told, and Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. And so when Jesus was growing up as a young boy, it says that he grew here four ways. He grew in wisdom. Okay, that's intellectual growth. He grew in stature. That's physical growth. He grew in favor with God. That's spiritual growth. And he grew in favor with man. That's social growth. Anytime that you use your money to grow in these four areas, the Bible says that you're investing in eternity. Anytime that you use your money to buy a Christian book or download Christian music or attend a small group and buy that book, you're investing in yourself. Anytime that you attend a retreat, or you pay to go to a seminar, you pay to go to a Bible conference, or you buy yourself a new Bible, you are investing in eternity. Investing in things like this will actually grow your character. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, buy the truth, and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. I love the way that this verse in the Message paraphrase says it. By wisdom, by education, by insight. And let me give you another verse in verse 16 of Proverbs 16. It is much better to have wisdom and knowledge than gold and silver. In other words, it's better for you to take that money and put it into something that is going to help you grow rather than just having that money sitting around and doing nothing. You know, a lot of times, we buy all kinds of junk food. You know what my favorite junk food is? It's terrible. It's a habit I break. I got a break, but I love driving by 7-Eleven and going in and getting one of those horrible little apple pies that they've got. You know, the Hostess apple pies? I sure hope they have those in heaven. Probably not. But the point is that we buy all kinds of junk food. But there's also spiritual junk food. Isaiah 55, Isaiah says, why do you spend your money on food that doesn't give you strength and does you no good? Listen, I'll tell you where you can get food that is good for your soul. And what is that soul food? It's food that's truth. It's food that's found in the principles of God. It's food that you can actually build your life on. And so I ask you this question, are you building your life more on junk food? Or are you feeding yourself soul food? You know, as I said last week, money is kind of like fertilizer. If you just pile it all up, it starts stinking. But when you spread it around, it makes things grow. And so the first thing that God says to do with your money is to invest it in things that help grow your character. Invest your money in making yourself better, smarter, wiser, a more skilled person. You know, he said that's a good use of your money, and that's storing up treasure in heaven, because if you believe in Jesus, you're taking yourself to heaven. So the second place to invest is to invest in each other. You know, I invest in eternity every time that I use money to encourage fellowship, when I use money to draw us closer together, to make us closer together as brothers and sisters in the Christian faith. I'm building up relationships with other believers. I'm showing love by the way that I spend my money. And the Bible calls that investing in eternity. Proverbs 12:10 says, love one another with mutual affection. That's the way that we're to love one another. Romans 12 says, share what you have with God's people who are in need. Show hospitality. Did you know that when you spend money on hospitality to other Christians, God says that that's like storing up in the bank of heaven. You are not wasting that money. You're storing it up in eternity. Hebrews 10 says, think of the ways to encourage one another with outbursts of love and good deeds. In other words, be creative with your hospitality. Be innovative. Put some thought into it. Anytime that you give to other believers and you use your money to serve and help other believers, you display love. And it draws you closer to them. It builds fellowship. For example, you know, when you buy a gift for a believing friend, like a card for them, or you provide a meal for someone who is sick and you pay for that meal, or when you grow flowers in your garden and use them to give, to bless other people, like you are investing in eternity. You're showing people love. When you open up your home for a small group or for friends, you know, it costs you to open your home. But did you know that the expenses that you're paying out of your pocket to have people in your home or to run a small group, that is actually called an investment in eternity. And that's where you're investing. Why should we do that? Why does God want me to use some of the money which he has loaned to me already to show love to other believers? Well, there's three reasons. First, it proves something. It proves that we're in God's family. 2 Corinthians 9 says, this service of giving, and giving is a ministry, the service of giving, not only helps the needs of God's people, it also brings many more thanks to God, and it is proof of your faith. Many people will praise God because you obey the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel you say that you believe, and because you freely share with them. This verse actually gives us three reasons. It says, when I give to help other people who are believers, it helps their needs. It meets their needs. It brings thanks to God. But it proves my faith. It shows that I'm really part of the family of God. And if I'm never generous to other believers, I should doubt whether I'm really a believer, whether I'm really part of God's family or not. The second reason is that it creates unity. When we share with each other, when we use our money to show love to other Christians, it creates unity. It draws us closer together. And one of the reasons that I believe our church is so unified is that we simply care for one another. We help each other with issues, with responsibilities, with food, with money, helping each other when we're sick and we have needs. And the Bible says in Psalm 133, verse 1, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. And so it proves I'm in God's family. It creates unity. And there's a third reason, and that it is a witness to unbelievers. Every time that you use some of your money to show love to other Christians, people that don't believe notice. The Bible says in John 3, verses 1 to 5, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they're strangers, that's sort of like when you invite somebody over after church to lunch or for lunch, you make faith visible. I'm not making this up. It says you make faith visible. You make the invisible faith become visible in the real world. And the Bible tells us that this is a proof of faith. James says, suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say, God bless you, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give them any food or clothing. What good does that do? Faith that doesn't show itself by good works, by good deeds, is no faith at all. In fact, it's dead or useless. This is just so important for us to understand. But there's a third way to invest, and that is in worship. I invest in eternity every time I use my money to worship God. When we use money as an act of worship, when I give money to God as an act of worship, when I return to Him what He's loaned to us as an act of worship, we are investing in eternity. You know, Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns and grains, and your vats will overflow with good wine. There's that promise. He says, you give it to me, and I'll give it to you, and we'll see who wins. You know, you can probably remember when you were a little kid, you know, some of the cheesy gifts that you got from your parents. Maybe it was a pet rock, I don't know. or for your birthday, or for Father's Day, or Mother's Day. And you might now look back and you go, man, that was sort of a lame gift. But your parents or your child, they were happy to get them because it's what the gift represented. It was all about their love and their thoughtfulness, their sacrifice. It may not have been a whole lot, but they could afford a whole lot more than you could ever possible give to them. As parents, it is your willingness to be generous with your kids, whatever the gift, that expresses your love and your sacrifice. And I suggest that it's always the love behind it that means a whole lot more than the gift. And when it comes to God, we cannot really give Him anything because He doesn't need anything. He owns it all. It's all His in the first place. It's like my parents giving me allowance as a little child, and then I go out and I take that money and I buy a present for my mom for her birthday. I didn't really do anything to earn that money, but it's the thought, it's the love, it's the thoughtfulness behind it. And did you know that giving an offering to God is the ultimate act of worship? When people are worshiping God by giving their gifts, that is a moment to be still. It's a moment to be quiet. It's a moment not to be rude to others. It's a moment not to be rude to God, because it's an act of worship. And did you know that giving an offering to God brings pleasure to God? It's not that He needs it. He doesn't need it. It's just that we give it to Him in love. And we say, thank you, Lord, for providing me all that I have. And I want to show you that I love you by giving back to you. Our passage in Matthew 6 says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why God wants us to give offerings to Him, Because where our money goes is where our heart goes. You know, I really don't care anything about Microsoft. I don't. I'm glad I can use a computer, but I don't care about Microsoft. But if I wanted to show you that I really cared about Microsoft, I'd go out and buy some stocks. Because the moment that I invested in Microsoft, I'd really start caring about Microsoft. I really don't care about KFC. You know, I don't. I like it cold, but I don't really care about it. But if I really wanted to care about it, then I'd go buy some KFC stock. Because the moment that I bought stock in KFC, I'd start caring about it. Where your money is, where your assets are, you start caring about it. You start paying attention. Wherever I put my money shows my priorities, it shows my values. And so here's my question. Where is your heart today? You know, where are your values? Where are your priorities? Regardless of what you say is important, there are two things that show what's important to you. All you have to do is look at your checkbook. Do we even have checkbooks anymore? I don't know. Debit cards or credit card statements, and you look at your calendar, your schedule. Because the way that you use your money, the way that you spend your time, shows really what you worship. It shows you what you most value. It shows what's most important to you. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. So the bigger question to you is, where do you want your heart to be? If you want your heart to be with God, then one of the things that you need to do is invest the money that he has loaned you. You know, someone once said to me, this is all fine and dandy, but, you know, where do I invest? Outside of all the things that I've said today, one of the main ways is being generous to the church that you attend. You know, giving to support the church allows you to actively participate in its mission. Financially supporting enables essential community outreach, pastoral care, facility maintenance, all of that kind of stuff. And as I've already said, it serves as a personal act of worship, reflecting gratitude and prioritizing spiritual value over materialism. We probably don't talk enough about generosity, but your generosity, it funds everything. It funds our local ministry in community, our community, from our nursery to our mom's program on Friday to Voltage Kids, all the way to every senior event that we've done, everything in between. It supports global missions and outreach programs that address actually real world needs. It helps sustain the physical church building, our technology and staff salaries are required to operate. Oftentimes people think that the staff, we have to go and raise our support, but that's not true. All of our staff are paid by you and your generosity. And we're very grateful for that. And you know, I could go on and on, but if we want to make a God-honoring impact in Kamloops, we must do it together, and we must take responsibility for that individually. And, you know, if you're not sure where to begin, it probably begins by talking to Don, our treasurer. You know, but here's a few ways that you can start. You can give in person. We have a donation box go back to that slide, thank you. A donation box in the lobby. We have a debit machine. Both of those located in the office. You can give online and e-transfer to donate at dbbc.ca, or you can click on the Donate Now button, or you can give by automatic withdrawal. You know, you probably, if you're new here, recognize that we don't take an offering in the service. We used to do that, but almost all of our giving, I'm not going to say 100%, but almost all of our giving comes through automatic withdrawal. And, you know, and all of that supports everything that we do. When you go to meet the Lord, everything that you have here, all the physical things you're leaving behind, all your material possessions are going to be left behind. The only thing will be that will go ahead of you is what you have sent on ahead, and that will be there for eternity. And Job, he says this, if you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold into the river, the Almighty himself will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver. I want you to know that if your treasure is here on earth, what's most important to you are the things on this earth, and that every day you are moving further and further away from your treasure. Because every day you are here on earth, you've got one less day here on earth. You're moving further and further away from the things that you're going to leave behind. But on the other hand, if you're storing up treasure in heaven and you're using your money for good, to serve the purposes of God, to invest in yourself, to invest in other believers, and to worship, which is really serving the purposes that God has placed us here on this planet for, then you're storing up in heaven treasures every day. You're getting closer and closer to your treasure instead of further and further away. So as we close, let me ask this question. Where are you storing up your treasure? Is it here on earth or is it in heaven? Are you investing more in things or are you investing more in people? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for the journey of our faith. And we're grateful that you have provided us everything that we need to accomplish your purposes. That we have no fear in trusting that all that you provide will, it'll always be enough for us. We never have to fear that it won't be. And Father, as we talk about our generosity, and sometimes messages like this can be hard because it really makes us think about what we are doing in building up treasures in heaven, or whether we're just storing treasures here on earth that we will leave behind. Oh, Father, I pray that your Spirit would bring joy to our heart, that we would believe that everything is a gift from you. It's loaned to you by us, and we're to invest it in things that truly matter. And Father, as we do this, I pray that you'd raise up your people here to be so generous with their time, with their energy, with their finances, with the things that you've given them to steward. And Father, that you would take great delight in us as your people. And so we commit ourselves to you to that end, Father, this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us.